When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, of course, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How the hell are you, Tommy?
I'm doing very well. I had a very childish afternoon where I watched a movie from 2001, then I got myself a damn root beer float, so I'm feeling good.
And then you held hands with another five-year-old. you got a root beer float, huh? That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I've been having one every day, and it's kind of like a Super Size Me thing, but no documentary, just...
see where it goes. It's the one moment of joy I have in my life every day.
No, honestly, I haven't had one in probably 15, 20 years. And I was out on a walk, and there's this little ice cream shop near the park. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get myself a damn root beer float. And I didn't know it was great.
That's great. I got to tell you, that's one of those treats that always sounds great to me, and I never enjoy it. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is about the mixture of the two. You know what I love is like red cream soda with ice cream in it. I think that that's an underrated treat.
Never had that.
I don't know why that works better for me, but maybe I'll try. I might get suckered into this again. You're making it sound good, and now I want to now I want to do it again. But I feel you. I want to bring Caitlin in, our guest. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce her, because I have a little peeve, not with Caitlin, but maybe we'll come up with something. you guys know her. You love her. Caitlin Cook is here today. Hello, Caitlin.
Hello. It's good to be here.
It's so good to see you. So I just, on my way to the podcast, I right next to my gym is a McDonald's. Have I bitched about this on the podcast before? I'm not sure. But if not, if I have, it's crazy that it keeps happening. But this is like the fifth time in a row this has happened. And I need you guys to know I'm not mad about this. I'm not being a bitch. I just think it's funny because I don't know what to do. I like my coffee black. That's it. I like black iced coffee. Because I like to spend my calories on other stuff. I like to, you know, have a glass of wine or something if I'm going to drink my calories. I don't like to waste it in my coffee or my root beer floats. So I get, I like my root beer floats black.
Can I have it black?
No added sugar, please.
And full price, believe me.
I go to the McDonald's next to my gym a lot after the gym, and I like to get a black iced coffee, and I order it like this. I'm not exaggerating it at all, and I'm not rude. I'm never trying to be rude. I just want to get it across what I want, and it's the only thing I order. It's the one menu item on my receipt is iced coffee. I go, hey, can I get a large iced coffee, black, no cream, no sugar, nothing, just black. And they always go, so no cream or sugar? And I say, no. I would like it black. And then they go, so no flavor? Because they have like flavor shots that they add to their coffee. And I go, nope, just coffee and ice. And that's it. And every time I go, I watch them take the order. They don't type any shit in that's like nothing in this. And then every time they call my number, it's just that like tan liquid, and I see them doing it, but I can't be like, hey, don't do that, because it could be somebody else's order.
Yeah,
but I see them pumping the shit into it and then pouring the milk into it, and then they hand it to me, and I'm like, no, that's not it. And they're like, they look at me like I'm insane, because I'm like, no, just black. And then they go to do it wrong again, and I'm like, no, nothing in it, just. And I don't know what to do. I don't know.
I have a solution for you.
Yes.
stop getting your coffee from McDonald's.
Okay, here's the thing, you 1%er ass, Caitlin. Their coffee is good for how cheap it is, and it's also convenient. And I get it. That's the obvious answer, but they can do it. Once they do it right, it's good. Like,
yeah.
And they always fix it. I mean, they're not like assholes about it. It's just like, I feel guilty because I'm like, I don't want you to waste that coffee. Cause they just throw it away. I think, or maybe they do it on purpose so they can keep it or something, but I can't imagine they're losing a lot of money on coffee over there.
Definitely not. Definitely not. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, because it seems like you're a bit of an asshole if you're like, can you please write that in the order?
That's the problem, is that I'm writing this line because I don't want to be, you know, I hate this term even anymore because I feel like it's hacky now, but I don't want to be like a Karen who's like, I see you're not writing it down.
Tom, will you look at what I just quote tweeted you with a minute before you said that phrase?
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I did call him Tom to Karen.
That's so funny.
Amazing.
That's so right funny before you like, brought it up.
Right before I called it hack. That's so funny because I just tweeted about it because I am perplexed. I was so worried that somebody would be like, how dare you? This is a 1%er complaint or something. Although I'm going to McDonald's, so whatever. anyway, if you guys have suggestions that are not just don't go to McDonald's.
All right, here's what I would actually do. I would give my order and then I'd be like, also, like, I don't mean to be an asshole, but like, it feels like every time I come here, y'all put cream and sugar in. And I would say it like smiling and laughing. It's like,
yeah,
can you just like put it in the order? I'm sorry. And just be like, I'm the asshole. Sorry.
Laughing like the Joker. Just like,
yeah.
Please make my coffee black. all right. Well, that's my miffed up start of the show. I'm peeved.
Yeah.
Caitlin, how are you doing? What's pissing you off today?
Oh, what is pissing me off today? Not a lot. Just the heat really is making me a bit more feisty, you know, a little, mm-hmm. little bit more sassy.
Mm-hmm. Listening to the band Feist a lot.
Yes. I'm Feist.
Can I quote a tweet from when Tim McLaughlin first moved to the city? If you can't handle the heat, get out of Hell's Kitchen. Ha. Sucks.
Oh, that's a really bad tweet.
Yeah, he's bad at comedy. Anyway, check him out on the Patreon doing Family Guy impressions for $3 a month. Anyway, yeah, it's insane out there. It's muggy. It's gross.
Yeah. I don't mean to be bringing up the weather on the podcast. That's just like all I've done today is really like go to a cafe, skip a meeting because I didn't feel like going to it, and then walk a dog in the heat.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. I've like, it's so hard to be productive when it's like this because you're just like walking through a swamp. It feels like, and even like getting to the gym is hard. Going to shows is so hard. You like just biking. I have to carry like 3 shirts with me.
Yes. Yes.
It's brutal. I convinced myself I got work done today because I had done.
So I was damn frozen.
Oh, you're back.
I freeze. I'm back.
You froze for us, Sam.
Anyway, it wasn't important. But why is it saying on the internet?
I also appreciate the heat because I can just walk around and sweat out my hangover instead of having to exercise it out.
For sure. All right, we're back. A little technical difficulty there. But nonetheless, we have a great topic here today that I'm excited to get into. Caitlin, we asked you very last minute, and we were grateful that you came up with a great topic right off the bat. Josie and the
Pussycat. It's hard to pick someone that you guys haven't done yet, plus someone that, like, I'm not going to bring a man that's universally liked or is, like, kind of not known.
Yes.
And this is a movie that I feel like most people know and is a badass soundtrack.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like, so Tommy watched the movie today. I watched it like maybe a year ago or 10 months ago or something like that.
Yeah. The last time I watched it was like maybe 4 months ago. I was drunk, but I watched it recently.
That's why we brought you on actually, Caitlin, is to talk to you about your drinking. And we noticed you have a habit of getting drunk and watching films from the early 2000s.
Yeah. Really, and it's a real problem. I know. I see it in myself and I'm really trying to work on it. but I just need you guys to bear with me because like, you know, it's not just going to like solve itself overnight, you know?
Sure.
So, we are going to do a 10 things I hate about you themed intervention. Oh, fun connection, by the way, when I was researching this is that the woman who sings the actual songs, because Rachel
Letters to Cleo
is from Letters to Cleo, who performs in 10 things I hate about you.
Yeah.
And she has a great voice. And,
I didn't realize
something
that.
I found out today. Yeah.
I was thinking of a different connection here, which is, that one of the writers of the music for, and maybe performers, is Fountains of Wayne, which is also 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes. Adam Schlesinger wrote a lot of these songs. He also was he wrote a lot of, like every song in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend he produced or wrote. He sadly passed away right at the beginning of COVID, but he was amazing. Just an amazing songwriter.
Yeah, absolutely. That Thing You Do, one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
Like the most perfect pop song, and he wrote that
Stacey's
too. So I'm a huge
mom. Stacey's mom is a perfect mom. Pop
Great
song.
One.
And he wrote that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right off the bat, you got a lot of good firepower in the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Just knowing all of that, I will say this, and reading the reviews for the movie. And how I kind of felt about it as a kid, because I feel like this movie suffered from poor marketing a little bit, where it seems like it's a kid's movie. And even I was reading that even Parker Posey thought it was like a children's movie and kind of didn't give a fuck about it while they were filming. And then
it's so funny because she's amazing.
She's so good. And I was reading that she had trouble being a part of it because she didn't get it. And then Alan Cumming kind of got her in the right headset because he played a minion, and like he was having so much fun being in it, and he was really silly, and that put her in the right headspace for it.
Yeah.
But she just kept being like, oh, it's a kid's movie. It's going to be like kind of dumb, but there are plot holes and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not a kid's movie. It's like a criticism of capitalism.
Yeah. And, it's like a satire.
Yeah. It's fully a satire.
Yeah.
And watching it as an adult, you're like, oh, this is 100% a satire. Like,
yeah.
There's Tommy, you just watched it. Did it not feel like it's meant for adults?
I thought it was fantastic. I don't know if I must have seen it when I was really young, but I hadn't seen it since then. And it's like genuinely funny. It's really well written. Yeah. Alan Cumming is hysterical in it.
Yeah.
And Parker Posey. I was like, this is so good. And I guess I must have thought it sucked. And I was when I was a kid or something, but I looked it up like Tom did the reviews. Tom, did you read the Roger Ebert review for this?
I did not read the Roger Ebert.
Oh my God.
I read some of it. So let's hear some highlights from this Roger Ebert.
I'll just read the first line, but this is like whenever I watch an older movie, I read what Ebert said because I used to love Ebert as a kid. This is Josie and the Pussycats. He gave it half a star.
Oh my God.
And the first line is Josie and the Pussycats are not dumber than the Spice Girls, but they're as dumb as the Spice Girls, which is dumb enough.
Wow. Shots fired to the Spice Girls as well. Why wrap them up into
Why
this?
Take them down?
I will also say, because we also watched Spice World not long ago, this movie is a billion times better than
Spice World. They were on drugs.
they were just ripping off the Beatles movie.
Yeah.
Was it Hard Day's Night or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's like it has moments of being funny and stuff, but it's not. It doesn't like have that much of a sense of humor about itself the way that this does. Where this is fully, this is fully a satire.
This reminds me of Idiocracy. Is like probably the closest movie to this movie.
For sure, for sure. And I think as a kid, I was like, this isn't. I wanted, because I loved Rachel Lee Cook as a kid, and I also think this movie kind of suffered a little maybe from miscasting.
I agree.
Maybe not, but I don't know. Like, I think seeing Tara Reid and like, I mean, nothing against Rachel Lee Cook, because I don't think she did a bad job, but you know, she had just done She's All That. They were like, she's going to be a powerhouse for this movie. And
same directors too, by the way.
Oh, really?
She's All That. Yeah. So they must have just been like, that was like their girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And it just seems like maybe they didn't fit the bill of like the cool kind of like making fun of it. It felt like it was meant to be what it was making fun of almost, I guess.
Yes. But, yeah. That's so, the thing is like, I don't know if she played it as like she could have done a little more and it would have driven the point home.
Yeah.
It was a little flat.
Yeah, I just read what was it? I read an interesting thing that I liked, which is that so none of the brands, because this movie, like I said, it's making fun of a lot of capitalism. Yeah, it's making fun of capitalism, whatever, and sellouts and music and shit like that, yeah. And how it was like making fun of like boy bands and stuff.
Yes,
that in the early 2000s were very corporate and stuff, and they've in every scene there's a brand featured.
Yes,
but none of them paid for it. It's all because it's making fun of it. So no corporations paid for any of that shit. Apparently,
that's funny. That's kind of like there was some story about Idiocracy of Starbucks like getting really upset and suing them or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that was another thing. I don't think reviewers knew that because a lot of them were like, it's so hypocritical that like while we're staring at a Krispy Kreme box, they're making fun of the corporate world. And it's like, no, that is the joke.
Yeah. That's the joke.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think if they knew that, maybe they would have gotten it more. Maybe we just got more used to seeing stuff like capitalism be made fun of or something. I don't know. But somehow it missed the mark for these people. But when you watch it now, it feels very heavy-handed and funny.
Yes.
Because of how heavy-handed it is.
Yeah. And none of us picked up on it. I mean, certainly not me as an 11-year-old. I was just like, man, I want it. Like, this movie is so bad, it's good. I want to rock out and learn how to, like, fucking shred on guitar. That's what I want
to
do.
Yeah. And I want to go to Target.
Yeah. Well, also, like, subliminal messaging was, like, such a big, just, like, crisis at the time. Like, and it's just not real.
What were some examples? Was that a real thing? Because I'm trying to remember in music if there were any actual subliminal messages that were attempted.
It was like one of those things that do you remember? Like, remember when Tipper Gore took a bunch of musicians like to court, like the Supreme Court, to like she's the reason why there's like a parental advisory sticker on CDs now. But it was just like they talked about subliminal messaging and like sexuality and music. And it's just like no one fucking does that. It doesn't work. Also,
Tommy, what was your Tipper Gore joke?
Oh, it was about the term serious girlfriend. Who am I dating? Tipper Gore. That was the whole joke.
That's a great joke. Whenever I hear the name Tipper Gore, I think I remember you had a bit about it.
Oh, my God.
Very funny. Yeah. I got a fun fact for you guys here. And that is interesting. I was just thinking of the Simpsons episode where they do subliminal messaging.
Yeah.
I meant to look up which came first because it is a very similar plot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's so this was what 2000 is this 2001? When was this?
2001 was Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the Simpsons episode came later.
So that came, they came out at like the exact same time, which means that this must have been like a big topic.
It was a big topic. It was like a moral panic at the time.
Right.
Because it was like, February 25th for the Simpsons episode 2001. And then the movie, I think, was like April 2001. So it's like neither one could have ripped off the other the way how much time it takes to make things, you know?
For sure. This is, if you're ever sure that something's been ripped off, just think about that. Like so often it's just fucking parallel thinking.
Very true.
And that's why when you see me do my new Tipper Gore joke, it's not. It's in the zeitgeist.
Tipper Gore is definitely part of the zeitgeist right now.
She's hot. Oh, man. I had one just before I forgot because it just came up on my screen. I was looking at the IMDb trivia for this movie and found the most insane fact, which
is, my God.
First of all, I must just be an idiot. I don't know anything about Archie comics. I never read them. I didn't realize that Josie and the Pussycats was part of the Archie verse.
Yes.
I didn't know until we watched it the last time. But I had no idea.
Yeah. And I knew that, but they didn't drive that home at all in this movie. There's like a couple random jokes, but like Riverdale most recently is like where people are like, oh yeah, I know Josie and the Pussycats from this terrible TV show.
Have you watched it? I never tried.
I've watched it. There's a scene where one of the characters is like, I don't know what it's like because I had to drop out in the fourth grade to support my mom and sell drugs. and then And then the guy who plays Archie is like, and you don't know what it's like to win at football.
That's right.
So I totally, the dialogue is awful.
I totally forgot. We watched like 3 episodes of that show and I completely forgot.
And they break out into song randomly. None of it makes sense.
But so this time to be fact. Okay, in order to preserve the wholesome image of Josie and the Pussycats, Archie Comics demanded that there be a scene where Josie and the Pussycats were seen brushing their teeth.
Is what? That
the craziest
there is
thing
a scene where they brush their teeth.
Because of the demand.
And another fun fact, 73 out of 76 people found that fact interesting. Why do we have to vote on everything?
You can put them in the skimpiest outfits you want, exactly. But to be wholesome, they need to be brushing their teeth.
Dude, this is right before that. I found this funny. Tara Reid is such a dumbass.
Man, I have a clip to play later.
Okay. It says the three girls, Rachel Lee Cook, Rosario Dawson, and Tara Reid, had to go to a band camp for 2 weeks to learn how to play instruments their characters used in order to look correct on screen. Tara Reid found this funny because this one time at band camp was a running gag in her previous film American Pie.
Oh my god, that sucks.
Like,
I want to sometimes I'm like, I want to be like Tara Reid, got a bad rap of just being like the dumb, sexy blonde of that era, but like, also, she's very dumb.
Dude, you have to watch. There's this trailer for a movie with like a talking hamster or some shit that it's insane. It's this line of Christian films that me and Antonia found when we were scrolling through looking for something to watch, like at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's a line of these movies where it's like there's some form of a talking animal. It's causing problems in this house and one person can hear it. It's like all the movies are the same, but weird. Tara Reid is like a fairy in this movie. And like, it's such dog shit. And you're like, God damn, how far she has fallen and how bad the acting is in it.
Wait, let me just do this now while we're on the topic, because it'll make sense to bring it up later. So it was just the 20-year anniversary of this movie. E did like a special where they had a Zoom interview with the three stars. And basically, Rachel Lee Cook and Rosario Dawson are so normal and like professional in it. Mm-hmm. And Tara Reid, I don't know if she is drunk, I don't know if she's on drugs, but she is fully insane in this thing. She is just like talking over everyone. Her answers make no sense. And there's like, I could play like every clip from this interview, but I just found one that I thought was really good. She's literally talking over anytime someone starts talking, she just starts talking also. But
oh my God. Oh my God.
A little thank God. And the soundtrack went certified gold, so you get royalty checks? No. Nada. That's how. You should be.
Rosario literally had to try so hard because she had no idea how to play the bass. And Rachel had no idea how to play the guitar. And trust me, I had no idea how to play the drums. So in the beginning of our shoot, like before, we had to get lessons and whatever. And then I was talking to them, I can't do it. I can't separate my hands to my feet. I was awful. And I'm like, I'm going to get, maybe they're going to not let me do the movie. These girls started rocking it out. And I'm like, oh my God, they're so ahead of me. And I can't even do my hands and my feet. And then
Do you think if you picked up a set of drums today, could you still rock out?
I can definitely, I know my hands and my feet now. But you know what I do the best? Bongos. Like, I can be like.
So that is some of Tara Reid.
She sounds so drunk.
She sounds
insane.
Yeah.
And the question was also, the record went gold. Did you get any money from it? And their answer is
nonsense.
That.
Nonsense. Wow. Just a fully different question. They probably asked her about that like 10 minutes before. And it just That's insane. And God, we pray for you, Tara Reid.
Zaya can play bass.
And then she's like, they're like, could you play the drums now? And she's like, I'm better with my hands and feet. I'm really good at the bongos, which does not involve your feet.
No. Rosario is probably like the most famous person from that movie.
Yeah. For sure.
But she was doing a string of like, she was also in Crossroads, right? Or was that Zoe Saldana?
Right?
I constantly mix them up. Yeah.
I never saw that. Is that right? I believe that sounds right.
So bad. Yeah.
Before we start listening to some music, I found one pretty crazy fact here. which is about how many, it's a lot of people auditioned for this movie that didn't get it. And it's a, it's insane who all auditioned for this.
I want to know.
So it says when Kaplan and Elephant were searching for their three main stars in 2000, they looked at some of the biggest names of the time and a few rising stars who have gone on to superstardom. Beyonce, Lisa, wow. Left Eye Lopez, and Aaliyah all auditioned to play Val. That's Val. Maggie Gyllenhaal, which is strange, yeah. I feel like, and Zooey Deschanel went out for Josie. They said the director said, we fell in love with Zooey because she came in with a little microphone, you know, the kind you used to plug into those old fashioned tape recorders and just made up a song. Elephant recalled, we'd never seen her. We didn't know who she was, but we were like, she's amazing. Then the studio guy said, we can't cast somebody no one has ever heard of.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. So really,
she got in trouble for being a new girl, huh?
Let's go.
Also, it's very funny to imagine her like demanding, I don't know if she would do this, but like demanding to be like, I'm gonna sing the lead vocals though, and like with her silly indie voice.
Yeah.
Yes, over these punk rock songs.
The wrong bit, yeah.
All right. Well, shall we hear some music? Because you picked some songs here. I made a little playlist of them. And very fun playlist. Oh, wait, what is this? I got to text Antonia back real fast. I'm recording the podcast. How dare you interrupt my important work? one sec. All right. Let's hear some music. Where is my playlist? Here it is. I had fun listening to this. I just listened to it on the elliptical, one way to listen to music, and it was great.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack.
With a Bluetooth speaker at the gym, Tom?
Yes, that's right. And people seem to be into it. The whole gym broke out into dance. It was pretty crazy. All right. So right off the bat, I feel like we got to play Three Small Words because I think it's the biggest banger of the playlist.
Yeah, and it's the top. It's the first song on the album.
Yes, and it's the That Thing You Do, I think, of of this playlist, of this soundtrack. It's just killer. It feels, a lot of these songs feel like they should have just gotten radio play if they didn't, and like I could have. Imagine some of these songs being in other movies. If like they could have just used this in other teen movies of the time as well as this one. But Three Small Words is a banger. I'm going to throw it on now.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried and true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs. From technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style. All for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Thank you.
You guys get the point. That that hook is incredible.
Yeah, I also love these lyrics of like, I'm a lyricist, so I'm someone that like really latches onto this stuff, and these lyrics mean nothing. Yeah. I'm a 10 ticket thrill ride. But the chorus is great. The chorus is so good.
That I'm gonna argue that these lyrics are incredible. And I think 10 ticket thrill ride fully means that means it's that's like as many tickets as you could give for a ride, I think. So it sounds like she's quite a thrill ride.
Yeah, like the verses are, look at how fucking badass I am. Yeah. And then the chorus is, you can't say I love you to me, though.
Right. according to songfacts.com, the three small words are, I love you.
What? Yes.
But they're not mentioned in the song, which finds Josie counting down the reasons her man is too little too late.
Damn.
Man. And yeah, this song makes no sense. It took 6 whole hours and 5 long days. So they didn't say he didn't say it for 5 days and 6 hours.
That's when you start like to notice. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Way really? Too late.
Well, you know he's gonna rest on that 7th day. So there's time. Oh, yeah.
Yep. This is a Christian song.
Yes.
This is about a song about loving God, who God won't say I love you back. So it's really upsetting.
That song is so fucking good. And
so good.
I think I wish a younger me had known about it. Like I feel like I would have put that on playlist and stuff.
It's so good. It. The guitar is so good. The drums are so good. Yeah, this is like what made me be like, can I get guitar lessons? Can I play guitar? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I wonder if this would be a fun karaoke song.
Oh, I think so.
I wonder if they would have it. We talked about that on the Patreon last week, and I feel like, or this, I guess the one that just came out yesterday, but I feel like that could be a good one. It's pretty fast, too. It's like, it's short and sweet.
I should have done this when I was at your place last, and we did random karaoke in your living room.
Yes.
Holding the remote control to the TV as a microphone. Like,
Julia Claire was just on, and she was talking about Antonio putting that together.
It was so funny. Both me and Julia were like, this is not happening. There's no way we're gonna do this.
Yeah, you want to hang out with Antonio, it's happening.
Oh yeah. It was great. I feel proud of my song choices.
Hell yeah. What did you pick?
I chose Green Light by Lorde. Great song.
Right.
Great song.
Yeah, great
song.
I chose I Try by Macy Gray.
That's a killer.
And I don't remember what my third one was, so I'm going to say it was Three Small Words by Josie and the Pussycats.
Also, it was funny watching them because the first time they play this song is at the beginning of the movie in a bowling alley.
Yes.
Signify that, you know, their career's not going well. And I was just, it's like so funny that now in New York, like one of the best stand-up shows is in a bowling alley.
Yes.
And I was like, I get it. I've been there. Mm-hmm. So true. And one of the best concert venues, also in a bowling alley.
Yes. Yeah. Bowling is back, baby.
Bowling is not bad.
All right. Shall we hear another song from this playlist?
Yes. What's next?
Let's hear. I put them in kind of a random order from what you sent, if that's okay. But if you want to hear them in a specific
order. No, I just put them in the order they're on the album.
Let's hear Shapeshifter next. So
This is my favorite track.
This one's great. Here's Shapeshifter.
The guitar is so good.
I wonder who would ever not believe.
whatever, dude. I thought the song was so cool. I was just like, yeah, fuck that guy. Whatever, dude.
Whatever, dude. Pretty good. On a BuzzFeed list of the best ranking the songs on this album, they put this at number 7, which I was kind of surprised.
No, it was always my favorite. It just rocks the hardest out of all of the songs. It's a fuck you song.
This is a weird list, in my opinion.
What's the top one?
So top one they have here. Any guesses?
It's got to be three.
It's three small words.
Yeah. It is not three small words.
Whoa!
That's what I'm saying. This is a weird list.
What?
Number one.
Spin around.
No, it is one from your playlist, Caitlin.
Oh, which one?
It is. It is Pretend to Be Nice.
So that one, actually, that I can see that argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one is, I was just listening to that one. I was like, damn, this is like a really cool progression. And I just really like that song.
The chord progressions are like very musical theater.
Yeah. Let's hear that one next.
Yeah.
I'll read what they write about Shapeshifter. Another soundtrack song. This one rocks out while calling out a guy for being super fake. Another song that ties to the theme of the movie. This one allows you to call out all the shitty guys who have wronged you while finishing off with the nonchalance of a whatever, dude. They also put best lyric as gatecrasher, rehasher. If you think that's cool, whatever, dude. So it's just the chorus. Cool. All right. Let's hear Pretend to Be Nice, which they have at number one. And Tommy says he understands.
I sympathize.
To that, I say, whatever, dude. Oh, no. My phone's messing up. All right. Well, hopefully this loads. God damn it.
That's cool. Whatever, dude.
Oh, here we go. Pretend to Be Nice. Here it is. Like you're wearing some kind of disguise, because your hair sticks up, your shoes are untied. I hope that you got that shirt and hat flies, and every word I say falls flat on the floor. I try to tell a joke, he's heard it before, but I don't think that I can take it no more. It's driving you right out my front door. That song fucking rules. Awesome. It's great.
So good. Yeah,
that's a great song. It's like a little slower tempo, but it like really drives, you know?
Yeah.
So BuzzFeed says the song that puts the Pussycats on the map. It's quite possibly the perfect pop song. A plea to a shitty boyfriend to be nicer turns into a bubblegum rock song with its ooey-ooeys and still manages to feature a rad guitar solo and an awesome key change. And it's great. That's an awesome song. I see it now too. I get it. I see where they're coming from. Great, great song. Let me see if I can find any other, because I'm surprised that one doesn't have more writing on it. Like more people writing about how good that one is.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it's interesting to take a bunch of like really good songwriters that do rock and musical theater and like know their shit and write a chord progression that is like more than four chords in a punk rock song.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, just three small words. Damn. That one is awesome. All right.
I think that was when I looked, because I was looking at like the credits. I think that one was Schlesinger solo writing that one, which I thought was explains why it's so good.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. All right. I feel like we have to hear this Du Jour song next.
This one's so good. Du Jour is such a funny B plot line of
yes.
That's Seth Green, right? That's his
Seth
thing.
Seth Green and Turk from Scrubs.
Yes.
Donald Faison.
Yeah. Donald Faison.
That's his name, yeah.
Hell yeah.
And God, the other, was it Brecken Meyers, one of the other ones too? Yeah, it was like four guys that were all in She's All That. That's why they picked them. But yeah.
Yes. All right, so let's hear Backdoor Lover.
Oh, it's so good. So stupid.
I don't get what that one's about.
It's about like leaving your back door open, you know, in case there's like people in your backyard that like might want. Yeah.
But I bet it is so funny. That joke must have gone over the heads of
Went over mine.
Like 90% of the people that saw the movie at the time.
Because
like,
it's definitely not a kid's song. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They called it, I was reading like an appreciation of this movie that came out like recently, and they called it like a proto Lonely Island song, which I thought was very true.
Yes. Absolutely. It does feel like that.
100%. I was just looking for that's gone.
It's also clever that they're named Du Jour, you know, and like there's good jokes of like he's like Du Jour means family. It's like that's a good joke. Because like, it doesn't. I enjoy that.
Absolutely. And you were right. That is Breckin Meyer. And that is.
I don't know who the fourth guy is. I don't know him from anything else.
I don't either.
Yeah.
We're pretty sure it's on this Bustle article. They write Backdoor Lover is about. You know what it's about. Except, why is all writing just dog shit? except we're pretty sure you didn't know that back in 2001. No. It's okay. We didn't either. Yeah, I don't think I would have gotten that when I was a kid, and definitely not in 2001. Mm-hmm. But I was concerned about other things that year.
It is a movie that opens with a plane crash that came out in 2001. So maybe they knew something we didn't.
I think they predicted a lot of things in that movie. That was that's a very funny song. I was reading an article that there's like a million articles, maybe because of the 20th anniversary. There's like a million articles about rewatching Josie and the Pussycats, and it's like actually iconic or whatever. I read one from someone who says it's like her favorite movie, and that she begged her parents to take her to it when she was a kid, and they did, and she's like, I can't believe they let me stay after the song Backdoor Lover.
Oh my god.
Wait, are they brushing their teeth? Okay, that's fine.
All right. Okay. They better be brushing their teeth in that movie.
I also didn't realize that Adam Duritz from The Counting Crows contributed to
Yes.
And Jason Faulkner from Jellyfish.
Yeah.
I don't know Jellyfish.
I just listened to their whole album. I drove from Chicago back to New York, so it was a lot of full albums.
Check that out.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Very... I want to say like circus rock, weirdly, like like kind of like, you know how the format has a lot of songs that are just like full orchestras, and it's kind of like that. Yeah.
Tommy would like that because he's a clown. clown. So the people that are listed here, the album, which is executive produced by Kenneth Babyface Edmonds, features songs written by Adam Duritz, Jane Wiedlin of the Go-Go's, and Adam Schlesinger, who wrote That Thing You Do. The band's pop punk sound was derived from thinking about what a female Blink-182 would sound like. Other than the sheer pop music that was going on, there was a power punk thing happening with Green Day and Blink-182, that power trio. Kaplan said, we wanted that sound, but from an all-female band. They could have been a pop band, but part of our choice was to say that rock seemed to be disappearing. So for us, it was like, let's make it about a rock band that's trying to be turned into something else. All right. Interesting. What's this last? Oh, but Josie. Whatever. This is a list of 7 fun facts. Some of them aren't that fun. All right, let's hear the next song on this playlist. How many do we have left, actually? Are we down to the last one? We have no, there's got to be 2.
I think there's 2 left.
Yeah. So I wanted to save the title for last. Damn it. Oh, You Don't See Me is next, which I apparently fucked up and put a Keen song on the playlist because it was right below.
This is the one sad, slow song on this album. I felt like it was, since they all rock so hard, I felt like I needed to include one that was slightly different.
This is like if they're trying to do Blink 182, this is the I Miss You.
Yes. Of, yes.
Yeah. All right. Here is You Don't See Me.
This is the place where I sit. This is the part where I love you too much. Is this as hard as it gets? 'Cause I'm getting tired of pretending I'm tough. I'm here if you want me. I'm yours, you can hold me. I'm empty and digging and tumbling and breaking. 'Cause you don't see.
Good change of pace.
Beautiful.
Little change up. That'll get you whiffing. yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah. It's funny though. There are some lyrics that I'm like, that's a really nice lyric. And there's some that I'm like, what are you doing? This is the place where I sit. This is the part where I love you too much. Very silly.
Let's see here. I want to see if there's any fun facts about this song, but that might be too much to ask. Let's see. I wonder if they put this on the list of top songs, because I did not.
Yeah, I want to know what the worst one is. Or did they just did the top songs?
It's like it was like a ranking of them. Let me see if I can find it because it has now disappeared. Oh, wait. There it is. Okay, hell yeah. All right, so yeah, it's definitely not top 3. They put Spin Around as the 3rd one, by the way. The worst one, I'll just read the whole list here. Number 12, Du Jour Around the World by Du Jour.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Number 11, You Don't See Me by Du Jour. Yeah, they don't say it's anything about it being bad. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they said this one's a bit of a yawn, but it is instrumental in exposing Maker Records for their evil schemes. All right. Well, we got one last song here, and it's the titular Josie and the Pussycats. Let's hear it.
Just
Yeah.
All right.
That one just rocks. Yeah. It felt we need to play the titular track.
Mm-hmm. Had to play it.
Yeah.
Had to play
that does feel show. It was like a very early 2000s thing, I feel like, of like taking like the old theme song, but now it's got updated lyrics and now it fucking yes. slays. Yes. It's like very of the time.
Exactly. Very true. Yeah, this album just fucking rocks. Like every song that I left off of here, I was like, oh, that one's so good. Spin Around is great. I Wish You Well is like another fuck you song. Money is great. Yeah, I Want Money.
Cover,
great.
Yeah, don't we all? And,
yeah, it's a good cover.
I love in Spin Around because in the scene in the movie when, yeah, they're playing it, it's the big concert. And then they like the romantic conversation that happens literally during the song.
Yes.
And it's just like in front of 80,000 people. They have a full conversation.
So ridiculous.
Very funny. Yeah, very funny to watch.
Yes. Oh, great movie. Highly recommend.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, that is the playlist. So now it's time for us to move on to our next segment, which is where we go to the peanut gallery, the listeners of the show, and see what they think about this soundtrack / film. And first we go to the Patreon. You can get on the Patreon for $3 a month. You get bonus episodes every friggin' week and you get your comments guaranteed to be read. We can't always read all of them because we run out of time and it's a lot. So first off, Weston says the movie was way ahead of its time and the soundtrack is definitely of its time. Very slick and catchy, but no substance. All right. Fair enough. I think it was ahead of its time. I think there's maybe some substance.
Not a ton.
Yeah, not a whole lot, but some maybe. Great flick. Gutter Car says a great flick that was seriously done a disservice due to its advertising. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Such a great cynical look at the music industry and the news in general that holds up well 20 years later. Definitely. I think the marketing was horrible for that movie because I thought it was a kids movie too. Next one here is Ali McElwee, who writes underrated film and soundtrack. Spin Around and I Wish You Well randomly pop in my head at least once a month. All right. There you go. Great. All right. Did we post on Twitter? I did not.
I did in the last 5 seconds, so I'll let you know if anything happened. But I did get a personal text one from Connor Sullivan, past guest of the show, because he's a huge fan of this. So I reached out to him, and he just said, "Oh, baby, please stick up for my beloved. Spin Around. It never gets enough love." And
we should end the podcast with that one, probably.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can listen to that at the end. On Facebook, we got Joseph Kincaid writes incredibly underrated and way ahead of its time. Every Josie song hits, every Du Jour song bangs. Let's see here. Hannah Borisow says, super strange movie. All songs were absolute bangers, though. All right. Will Carey says the soundtrack is great, full of some really great songs, and Josie's singing voice is the women who sang in Letters to Cleo. We covered that, buddy. Weren't you listening? Kayla Duso says one of my all-time favorite movie soundtracks. I tend to send the Spotify link to my sister at least once a year. Oh, I just saw on Twitter, Max Fine says, defined my sexuality.
Didn't have to read that one.
Yeah, I should have skipped that. Jesus Christ.
Probably the toothbrushing.
Samantha Ruddy says, tied with That Thing You Do for best fictional band for sure. Well, we know why that is. The soundtrack stands on its own and is just as good as peak Letters to Cleo, in my opinion. Genuinely could have played on the radio in the early 2000s. They nailed the sound. I fully agree with that. Melinda Kashner writes in all caps, Parker Posey.
Yeah,
she's so great.
Oh, Rachel Mack says, I definitely still listen to the soundtrack and wish they had been a real band. Yep. Gwen Sunkel says that movie is very slept on. It's delightfully sarcastic commentary on consumer culture and the music is surprisingly good. Parker Posey and Alan Rickman are fantastic in it. Also, I was watching this movie the first time I kissed a girl, so it holds a special place in my heart.
Oh, that's great.
Wait, is Alan Rickman?
No,
no, she's thinking of Alan Cumming. You've been too focusing on this makeout session.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't even looking at the damn screen.
You think Snape's up there?
Too busy snogging. I'm watching Love Island again. I'm talking about snogging. Anyway, all right, that's it for the Peanut Gallery, unless anybody comes in at the buzzer on Twitter here, but I think we're good. From what we've gotten so far from Twitter, I think we're good. But now we are at the final segment of this show, Caitlin, which is where you get to give your thoughts, your summation of your thoughts on the Josie and the Pussycats movie and soundtrack, and then we'll give a rating to this playlist.
Sure. I love the movie so much. I also think it's just like it really holds up and is brilliant. And this soundtrack, yeah, maybe it doesn't have a ton of lyrical substance. That wasn't the point. It fucking rocks. It rocks, and it made me want to learn how to play guitar and be in a rock band, and I'm grateful to it for that.
Hell yeah.
I should say, I also found a quiz for like which Josie and the Pussycats member are you? You got Alexander Cabot. I'm just going to skip. I answered all the questions for you. The quiz sucked. And so that's going to affect the score that this playlist gets because I couldn't find a fun quiz. But I really enjoyed this playlist a lot. It was a lot of fun. I am glad I watched the movie again in the, you know, in the past year, because it's much better than I gave it credit for being. I thought it was a snooze the first time I saw it. I didn't get it. Yeah. I wasn't ready to be taught the truth about corporate America.
Yeah.
And so now I'm awakened to it. I'm aware of, crapitalism, as I like to call it. And so the crapitalist government that we live in sucks shit, and I liked the songs. I'm gonna go with a solid 4.6 on this playlist out of 6. I enjoyed it a lot. Like you said, the lyrical substance isn't always that strong. I don't totally disagree with the BuzzFeed writer about You Don't See Me, but I did think it was pretty. I'm not giving it a, you know, nothing, but I think 4.6 I'm happy with. Tommy, what do you got?
Rosario didn't know my hands from my feet when I was trying to drum, and I just I was thinking the same thing. My initial thought was 4.75. I thought the movie was so good, and I genuinely had a great time watching it today, so I'm happy that you picked this topic just so I could do that. And it was fun talking about it. I think the songs are so good, especially the rockers are so great. Three Little Words and Pretend to Be Nice, I think are like genuinely great songs. Mm-hmm. 4.75. I really liked it.
Cool. Yeah. We're right next to each other there. Caitlin, you also get to rate the playlist here.
I'm going to give it a solid 5 just because I believe in it so much. I would say, You Don't See Me is like, I just wanted to add something slightly different to the playlist, but I should have chosen probably Spin Around or I Wish You Well.
Well, we're going to hear it anyway, so it's all good. And I'm glad that you gave us a little bit of a, you know, a change up. It was nice to hear the range of the soundtrack. And
her voice is so good in that song, too.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Absolutely. Before we play Spin Around and get out of here, is there anything you'd like to promote on the way out, Caitlin?
Yes. First of all, I just released a new album called Betty Pitch. That's musical comedy, but it's good, I promise. And I'm also doing a show I'm doing lots of shows, so I'll just plug my Instagram, which is at the Caitlin Cook. Caitlin is spelled CAITLIN, the Irish way, the only way, the correct way.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Tommy, what you got?
July 23rd, me and Luke Moniz have our next monthly show at Union Hall, Boardwalk Comedy. It's going to be really fun, so get your tickets for that. And then, Tom, this is a dual plug, but yes. August 5th, Stand By Your Band Live, Union Hall. Live. Very exciting.
Sweet.
Hell yeah. Battle of the Bands. It's the most fun show on the planet. Truly, like, I can't think of a more fun thing. Every time we do it, people leave very, very happy. And
every time we do it, people leave.
They walk out, but they're happy that they are walking out.
They're happy.
They have fresh air. They're like, oh, the show was at 7:30. I'm home by 8. That's crazy.
Cool. Yeah, I've done it before. Highly recommend.
Hell yeah.
Super fun. It's chaos by the end, but in a good way. It's controlled chaos. That's August 5th at Union Hall. Get tickets early because it's not a huge venue. We love it there. Get over there. And me and Caitlin have a shared plug too. Good God Comedy is at the Sultan Room. We have 3 dates lined up now. We've got 7/21, 8/4, and 8/18. So August 4th and August 18th and July 21st. Get out there. It's always killer lineups. You can get tickets at thesultanroom.com. Also be in Phoenix this very weekend at CB's comedy joint or whatever the fuck with Melissa Villasenor. That'll be a good time. And Tommy and I will also be in Boise coming up in September.
Yeah.
Other live Stand By Your Band and doing stand up and stuff too. So get out to all that. I'm also putting out clips. I'm finally getting around to putting out a bunch of new clips. I got 10 clips coming. I finally got them captioned and shit. So those, look out for those on my Instagram and YouTube and all that shit. All right. Get on the Patreon. Thanks for listening, everybody. Keep it crispy. Here's Spin Around.